Keep watch over yourself and the flock. But it's keep watch over yourself. Resilient is how you endure in a healthy way. How you stay fresh, passionate on the long run. And Paul said, keep watch over your own life, yourself. Because there will be a lot of things that will happen around you, within you, that can kick you off the ground. So resilient means stay healthy, stay in good balance in your life. And I have talked with so many church planters, and I need, this is something that is important. So in some way, no, we not talk about your ministry, I talk about you as a church planter, as a leader. And we're going to pray. Lord, thank you that you are here with your spirit. And we have the privilege to be your servant, Lord. And I ask you, come to a real area in our life where you want to touch us, meet us, help us, challenge us, Lord. Thank you, we are not running this race alone. You are in the midst of everything happening in our life. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So, keep watch over yourself. And in the note, you have 7 areas printed out. 7 topics that I think is really important. And the first topic is reconciled with your past. I run a Bible school. We have started a Bible school in our city. It's called 40 Days. It's not Rick Warren's 40 Days. It's God's 40 Days. And we start the whole topic about being loved by God. And in being loved with your whole history. And we read from Matthew chapter 1 about Jesus' heritage. And you have so many funny people there. And he wasn't ashamed of his heritage. Sometimes we try to hide. But we try to learn the people to embrace their whole history in the love of God. You have to embrace everything in your history and give it to God. And in the Israelitic history of Israelites, they sometimes made peace with their enemies and let them stay within their area. You know that when you read the Old Testament? And suddenly in the places when the Israelitic people thought they had peace, something happened. There was a war. Some of the people start to fight against them in the midst of themselves. You know that? You read the history? But God said you should get away these people, but they made peace with them instead of take them away. And it's so dangerous if you are making peace with some area of your past that's not God is pleased with. And you let them be there. Because I have coached church planter couples that have been divorced because they had not taken their whole history of life and brought it into the light. And they start to hide things and they were kicked off. You need to live reconciled with your past. No area in darkness. No area that has not been transparent to God and to other people. If you are not reconciled with your past, you are in danger. And I really mean that. And also, one of the other topics, you need to deal with your fear. Someone said, I'm not fearing my life. Stupid. You have fear in your life. One of the main things in church planting is rejection. You will be rejected. you will be misunderstood. And if you don't just know that I will reject it, I will be misunderstood. I will be disappointed. I will be hurt. If you don't just know that, some of your fear factor will take you. I have fear in my life. I have. I said to him, I like to have everything in control. I like control. I like to know. And I see when I, in my own family, when four kids and there is kind of, I'm losing the control, I can feel the fear coming up in my own life. And sometimes I deal with that. I go to the dishes where I wash it up and I kind of start to like do the stuff to just get out the feeling. You have fear in your life. It can either run you or you take control of it. And the only way to take control is to let the love of God come into your life in this area of fear. You have fear. Either it runs you or you use it as a power in your life, in your direction. I work with a lot of leadership topic, and it's interesting. This is Harvard Business Learning on Leadership. They say the best leader, they know they are reconciled with their past, their history. They know their history and they are using their own history to the benefit of the direction of the future. And one more, they all know, this is a hand. I don't know how I do this. I'm not good in writing. They know their own potential, what they can, who they are. They know their potential. Good leaders know their potential and they know their passion, the heart's passion. And they make a quite good integrated life house. They balance their life in a good way. And also they make the possibility to connect with people and groups of people that can help them in the development of their own life. Integrated life home, life balance, or life integration, home, family, work, expectation. This is top leadership training. And they work with the people, how they deal with the past, my life history, how they really connect with the potential of their life, the passion, the integrated life house, and how they can find people they are accountable that can help them in development of the different area of life. But interesting, there, they always talk about the history. Because the history of your life will also predict some of your future of your life. The question, and some of the question I ask, and this is also in the M4 book, is, do I carry wounds or disappointments? Is there anyone I have yet to forgive who has done hurtful things to me? Am I guilty saying or doing something wrong to others that I haven't taken the initiative to settle and ask forgiveness? Do I have any area of my past that constantly enter my thoughts? Take 2 minutes and ask God, God, is you speaking something into me in this area about the past? And if something coming up to mind, something that you feel when I've talked now the last 5 minutes, is important for you, you write that up on number one here. Reconcile past. Okay? 2 minutes, just for yourself. Reflect what I've said into your life. Is there some area, something that is important for you? In the danger of me, some of you would like to do like this when you're writing, because I'm going to ask you and challenge you on each of the topics. And I think some of you would like to do like this. Put it in here. And have it and write it. And when you write, you put it in and you block it again. It's not easy to sit in a... Okay. So I, in the danger, really in the danger of you start to doing this or looking and reading, I give all this. So you can take the notes in there and close it when you have written something. Okay? So could you just help to put them around? One to each. Yeah. It's not for reading, no. It's just for hiding your... Because it's your life. It's your... So you can... So you put the green one or the yellow one in there and then you close it. So you next time you can open and then you close it. And then you can take your own reflection into the other reflection when you're doing the resilience scan, if you want. Okay? So please don't start to read. The second topic that is important is to be optimistic, or I would say realistic optimistic. I will not, I'm, have you the Bible with you? Yes. Revelation 1. This is one of my favorite passages. A lot of this, what I'm telling here, is in the M4 materials. The last two topics in the M4 materials is about this topic of staying healthy as a leader on the long run. Because we have seen too many church planters getting off the ground. They are kicked off. Because they haven't built the healthy character. So, Revelation 1, verse 4 to 6. Grace and peace to him who was, who was, and who is to come. And from the seven spirit before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priest to serve his God and Father, to him be the glory and power forever and ever. Amen. It's interesting. John is sitting alone on an island, the rest of his followers are killed. He had all reason to be depressed, all reason to be not optimistic, but pessimistic, all reason to feel self-pity, all reason to feel left alone. And he's writing to some churches that I think in his heart he wants to kick. But he doesn't. He just starts and greets them with who God is. Who fantastic Savior we have. He's the ruler of the king. He's the one who... in the situation, he managed to lift his eyes over the situation, over the circumstances, into something that is more, far better, more eternal than the situation he is in. That's not easy. You know, we are in some way, we'll go into, Dietrich Schindler, he has really good talks on this, and he will say something on this on tomorrow morning about to last as a church planter, we are sometimes going into a little depression when you feel defeated, when things are happening. But it's so important to keep healthy. You need to lift your eyes and somewhere be a kind of have a realistic, optimistic view of life. And that has there's so many issues around that. I sometimes say, if you read the story of the Bible, there's so much to learn. You know, I sometimes say that God is seldom do nothing or everything. Mostly he's doing something. And we sometimes kind of, we see, now it's nothing happening. Or we look at, oh, it should be like this. And this is the same that the Israelitic people did in the desert. That God had care for them every day, but they lose the sight of it. It's the same that Adam and Eve experienced in the Garden of Eden. They had everything, and the one thing they couldn't have, and they start to look at it. And they stop being graceful, thankful for all what they had. You see? And it's so, so easy when we're doing things, especially us, we want to see so much. We want to see things happen. And we are driven by our own desire and sometimes go into human effort. It's not God who's building, I'm building. And one other thing is that we lose the sight of the something God is doing all the time. And to be graceful for and thankful for the small thing of life is a deep learning that God can turn everything in a life to the benefit of his kingdom. Sometimes I don't dare to say that because it's also a lot of painful thing in my life. But God can turn it to his benefit for his own life. And I think this I call it realistic optimism. This thankfulness is so important. And I try to work at when a church planter, encouragement and thankfulness is a huge power. You know, you have experienced that in your own life, but also to always thank the people, to always say, in the group when we have new Christian and they pray the first prayer, we celebrate. To celebrate the small things in life, the small things. If you learn to celebrate, to thank, you are making a path to stay healthy on the long run. It's so important in your life. So, take 2 minutes. What do you hear make any sense into your situation? When we were 3-4 years in the church planting, we had got 3 kids and waiting the 4th in 6 years. And I was running around. And me and my wife start to like go like this. And God said to me, through his body, some good friends, because I live accountable with others, you can continue to do, and you lose your ministry, and you use what you have. And I knew, I have to change. I have to change. Because the family is more important than the ministry, what I'm doing. And a lot of this was about taking care and manage my own time. Because there was a lot to do. And the demand was so many. And also my expectation to myself was so high that I was more driven. And I had to stop. And I did. We took 4 months off, away from everything. It was a really good time. And we kind of together. Maybe the best investment in my life. But one thing I learned, and that's the third topic. In some way, maybe the title is not the problem-solving competence. But the challenge is problem-solving has a lot to administrate your own life. Because If you not lead your own life and give direction to your own life, you lead by crisis all the time. In your family, with your kids, with the people around, and you lead from crisis to crisis. If not, so problem solving has a lot with planning. And I got help from someone. And we start, Linda and me also, to question, what do we want to do with our family? How do we profession, her profession, my profession, ministry? Yeah. What do we want to do together? What are we do separate? And we start to really talk through the whole thing. And where do we see ourselves 5 years from now, when the kids are 5, 7, 9, and 11, or 15 years to now, when they are 10, 12, 14, 18, and like we are now, when they are today, but today they are 13, 15, 17, and 19. What are important in the different phases of life in our family to take care of in our development? And we start to think through our own family life and think through our ministry and our hobbies of spare time. What are important for us? And when we did that, it gave much more clarity, much more help to guide our own life. And I think that's important. To think through, where are you? Where do you want to be? And for us, we said, okay, it was a good experience. Every 7th year, we will take 4 months off. And 7 years later, we took it. Every 7 years, we do a Sabbath. So we, in 2008 again, we took the same period. 2015, 16, probably do it again. It just to give us as a whole family time to get back, reflect what is happening within us, what is happening around us, are we doing what we think we are called to do, and so on. And I think to really reflect on where are you going if you have a family, your ministry, how is things fitting together? Sometimes we think in silos, in separate. It's not separate, it's a whole. This is what the business people work with. Life, their own life, holds balance, integration. Good business people, they manage to integrate their life, the business, the personal life, and the spare time in a healthy way. I think we need help to do that. Because we need also. And another thing is this, because sometimes or often we are running like this. We do the urgent thing that's maybe not so important or are important. We are leading in crisis all the time. The thing we need to do, the not urgent thing that are important, they are the planning thing. And we need to work on our planning, our rhythm of life, week, month. This is Stephen Covey, or it's not Stephen Covey, it's Eisenhower, the president of US, who made his own. It's in the M4 book. You can just Google it, Eisenhower, time management or something, then you find the whole thing. But it's so easy that we are here in the urgent all the time. Instead of being the not urgent but important. And the not urgent and important is where we plan. You know, sometimes I'm bad in this because the car is breaking down, because I haven't really taken care of it in a good way. Because I haven't time. I don't plan time. I have a lot of time. I just don't manage my time. And you know, I have some picture. I like this picture. We are different here. This is different way of planning your time. You have someone like me, I'm pushing a lot into the time. So if I go out at 6 o'clock, I manage something at 5:30 also. And there's someone that really have a lot of time, but there's very little structure of the time. So they say, yes, yes, it's no problem, I can help you. And they say, whoa, when should I help you? Or so in some way they say, oh, there's a lot of time, but they don't nearly manage to. And there's someone who's more like to have good control and someone who really knows the task and to develop it. Well, we are different, but you know, need to know how you deal with your time, how you plan your time, how you work with it. And I think this is very close to another topic, and I will end with this on this third, and that's this topic. And you can go into the TED Talk if you want, or something. Often we are occupied with what we're going to do and how we're going to do it, what and how we're going to do it. But we need, and I see that as a church planter, when talking with church planter, you need to know why you do it. It's about your calling, knowing your calling, knowing your direction. Jesus was asked in front of Pilate, so who are you? And he said, well, I know where I'm coming from, the past, and I know where I'm going. For this I'm being called. Paul was clear in his calling, his why, direction. And it's important that we have direction, we know why, and we learn to plan in it. To be honest, I will give you another, I think it's here, the last one. I'm working with leaders, of development of leaders, church planters and leaders. And it's two areas that you're growing. It's in the character, but also the competence, CC, character and competence. Are you agree? And then it's about people. I will tell you more. And it's about result. I guess that when you start a church, you want to see something happen. There has to come some fruit out of it. Okay? So you grow in character and competence. And character that has with people is the social competence. The way you serve. The way you ministry. The way you are towards the people. And the only way we can lead people is through trust. I agree. We need to have trust. But character is not about social competence. It's about self-responsibility. Discipline. That's the hard word. It's not easy. And discipline over different areas of life. Thoughts. Money. When we have discipline in our life, we get another thing. Respect. And you have a lot of leaders that have trust, but really not respect. And that's because they are not leading their own life and manage their own time in a good way. The words they say is not according to the way they act, and they lose respect. So character has both with the social responsibility, the serving, the servanthood, and with the self-responsibility. And you build respect by leading yourself. in your trespassing to the people around you. So, take 2 minutes. Reflect on what you have heard. And maybe put one thing that you think, this is important to me, that God is speaking into your life. You know, when you plant a church, you do everything first. I was leading worship. You are leading the meeting. You are leading. In some way, you are doing everything. But I had a good experience. I'm not good at detail administration. And my handwriting is like a doctor. It's not good. And I said to the core group of the people, please, you know, I'm not good at detail administration. You know me. And when we grew, suddenly a lady that was 20 years older than me came to me and said, Eivind, I really can confirm what you're saying. Can I do it for you? And now there's many years with the planet here. She's still there, one day full time, one day a week, doing all the administration, sending all the letters, writing the books, everything she's doing. Not paid. But it starts with me as a leader, knowing what I'm good at, and also knowing what I'm bad at, and expressing that to the people around me. And I think it's so important for all of you, us as leaders, that we work mostly out of our giftings and skills, and that we know ourselves. This is when I'm working with church planter, that I help them to understand these 4 things. You know, to know your giftings, your talent, your skill. That's about what you can. What are your skills, your talents, your giftings, grace of giftings in the Bible. Who are you? I know. My main giftings is faith. It is. God has given me a gift of faith. So, and I know more and more how to use that giftings. I have some gifting of leadership. I have some gifting of teaching. But to be honest, I'm now reading one book, I will be made to stick. That's how you communicate in a good manner. And there's a lot of literature. And I read, I try to learn, to develop all the time. I will be participating in 4 days training in inspirational teaching in the summer, 4 days, because I want to develop. And I feel it's my responsibility. If God has given me something, it's my responsibility to develop it. Or isn't it? It's someone else's responsibility. So it's so important that you know your giftings, your talent, your skills, the thing you... And you also know what you're not good at. And when you start, you tell, you try to clarify, you help the others. Because if you are the one who know everything and can everything, there's no space around you for other people. And it's not easy. Often we as church, we are quite strong. Then we need to help to create the space for the people around us. Because many people will not take their space. We need to give them the space. And one of the things to give them is to know who you are, what you can, and also what you not can. And express it. And say, I need help. I need help. Could you please help me? It's so important when you're planting in your church. And then also, this is, you know, your personality strength. This is about not what you can, but in what way or how you do what you can. And that's different. You have seen like me teaching And the one who was here yesterday, Pete Williams, teaching, we maybe have the gift of teaching both, but we do it very differently, okay? But that has also something to be our personality, who we are. That comes all through our giftings, through our skills, through, because that's who we are. Some of personality, to know some of your personality strength is so important. And also motivation. Where? What are the motivation that demotivate? What are the circumstances that demotivate you? And that motivate. Put me in a room without people in 2 days, and I'm totally depressed. And I know it. And it has been a chance, because my wife said, put me in a room for 5 days alone. I'm totally energized. We are so different. So when we try to have vacation and we go 1 week away, she, like, after 3 days, she does, it's nice. And I said, oh, I have to have a goal with this day. I have to do something. I'm frustrated. I did in Easter now. We had 9 days without planning, because I know my wife liked that. And I was out of the third day, I thought I could feel my energy. Like, why? It's me. I need some directional planning. If you go a trip to the mountain, I want to be on the two of the tops of the mountain. Not just going a trip in the mountain. I need to have something. And we are different. And the people around you are very different. And you can think that they are like you, but they are not. And you have to know what are motivating you and understand what are motivating the others around you. That help you a lot. And also the value of why you're doing. So, reflection. Who are you? Do you know who you are? Do you give space? 2 minutes. Do you know what you can? Gifts, talents, skills? How you do what you can? Some of your personality skills, traits and personality. Where you, what you motivate you? Where are the circumstances that are motivating you, demotivating you? And have the capacity to understand other persons also, people around you. You know, we are different. I had an experience. One people in the church came to me. We had a big event. And we had like 100 more people than was allowed in the building. And he were in charge. And I was enthusiastic about this. And he came to me right in the middle of the meeting. He said, "Amen." And look me in the eyes. "This is wrong. We can't do it like this." And it is like, and in some way it could be a place for a conflict. But I knew him. What was going on in his life? He had a fear in his life. And that was the fear of be criticized for something he had done wrong. So I could see the fear was like in his. And since I saw the fear, you don't kick back. You take it, you deal with it. And I look at the fear inside and said, "You're right. You're totally right. This is wrong. And I'm sorry we have made a mistake. We have to take it in the first meeting when we talk about this." And he says, "Yes, we need to do." And it was finished. And we talk about it in the first meeting and we change something. You understand? It's understanding where people are, the fear, and what motivates them. What are the driving forces? And there's a lot to learn. And the fifth topic is about discipline. And I talked a little bit about this, because it's about discipline of your time, of your money. Money is a big issue for church planter. I don't know if you know, but it's a big issue. And the most of the church planter in Norway, we can't afford to pay a full-time pastor. That's more the thing that is, we can't. Salary in Norway is like crazy. And to live in Norway is more crazy. Like, you buy a beer for $20. It's not so much. It's a lot. but there has to be some discipline in life. You're sleeping. And I have also, after the challenge I talked with about with my wife, I have some challenge of discipline in my life. I have. It's the discipline of reading the Word of God, of praying. Of have a healthy body, your health. You like the word discipline? I don't like the word discipline, not at all. I said for 3 years ago, for a time, I put myself under administration. I'm just honest. I said to one guy, my co-worker, I said, you have to administrate me. I need help. Here is my next half year. Say yes or no. Go through it, everything. Go through it. Yes or no, yes or no. Ask me all the why questions. Why are you doing this? 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 And it helped me a lot. It raised my reflection and awareness of the things. And he asked, so what about the family? What about these people? What are you going to prioritize? Why? And then suddenly it raised my awareness of the whole priorities that helped me to be more disciplined in my use of time. You understand this? So there's a lot of help in the body of Christ, if you dare to be honest. And honesty, openness, is the only way for growth. But discipline is a huge area if you're going to stay resilient, if you're going to stay for the long run. So how are you in the discipline area? Are there something that you could work with? I will give you a very, very close-up example. That is about the next topic, self-confidence. And it's not... I was talking with this leader of this... I don't know what you said, but I was talking with Greg, the leader of this conference. Greg Pritchard? I don't know if you know him, but... He's quite nice, the guy. He's very outspoken. And I like to work with him. And he was challenging me to do a monitoring, a learning process with all the network leaders in the forum, and also with the steering committee and some other leaders in December now, 13 and 14 of December this year. And in some way, it's built my pride, to be honest, to be asked about that. But I said, well, I have to see and wait. I have to think for it. And then I called my wife. And I asked, what do you think? I'm asked to do this. And I didn't say the time when it was. And she said, well, if it not just is in December, that's okay. But after 5th of December, you are home. And I thought, well, it's a clear message. This was 12th and 13th of December. Because last December I was away like 3, 4, 5 days. And Christmas time is nice. We like family, like this. It's important to be there. So I could feel it's to have a self-confidence enough to say no to some nice things, to choose the better things. So I say no. That's important. And that has to do with some self-confidence, who you are. So it's so easy that people's confirmation or things are like taking you off. You understand? Do I speak? You understand? But you are driven from within of who you are. You know yourself. So a clear self-confidence in your own value system. This is the fourth one. I put it out here also. Your own value system. The why you do what you do. The calling you have. The more clear you be confident in the direction of your life, the more you can say yes and no. And the more you clear you are on your value system, and the value system is the thing you use your time and priorities on. It's what you do. Let me see how you prioritize your life, and I will tell you your values. And that's a challenge. Me and my wife, after we had this challenge time, we have been teaching together. That was one of the things we decided to do together. The last 10 years, couples. And one of all nice things, we are just honest with our life. And it's so much help you can give others by just be honest. Don't try to be more than you are. And we are doing this both in Christian realm and other, and more like a bridge out to the society. And I can say something that I value something, but my wife can tell me that that's not true because you're not doing it. And I think it's the value, what we value, if you are clear what we value, it's so much easier to give direction, say yes or no. It is. So the self-confident in the why you're doing what you do, your calling as a church planter, your calling in life and direction in life, as more you can be relaxed, confident, it's easier to also say yes and no. To not let your pride or your or other thing guide your life. Implement a meaningful and measurable contribution to whatever you work with. This is why. This kind of the self-confidence is, well, the first is I'm a child of God. That's the deepest self-confidence I have. And that's more worth than ever work. More worth. I was quite exhausted when I was in the beginning of life. Before we planted the church, I had 1 year nearly burnout. 22 years old. And you know, you don't burn out if you don't burn for anything. And I used 1 year to really restore my life, and then we get married. So it was, and one thing I learned that God really learned is that I'm loved by God no matter if I do one, if I'm not doing one single thing the rest of my life for Him, I'm still loved. And that deep confidence in my life, if I succeed or not succeed, that is really not the matter. Because God loved me. I'm accepted. I'm respected for who I am. And that deep self-confidence is so important. And also the self-confidence in not just who I am, but what has He called me to? What can I contribute into His kingdom? It's my the privilege of being in his kingdom. You remember the talk to Dietrich? That's my privilege. And the confidence in what I can contribute. So, how are your self-confidence in Christ and also in what you are called to be to do? This is a process, I know. But where are you? I have spent too much time now. Sorry. Because I want you to share in groups of three, just one thing after, but I take 2 minutes more with this last about relationship. But then I want to share one thing and just pray for each other before we go to the break. Okay? But first, relationship is the seventh topic of resilient leadership. It's we are in relation all the time. And relational can be difficult. It can be difficult in a marriage, in a family, in a church plant. And what happens often, I do it like this, that we experience that we in the team are different. Have you starting a church? I've started some church, and then you experience something, wow, we are very different here. And therefore, when we work with a church planning team, we challenge them value system. Because often when you grew up, it's the value system you hit each other. It's the value system beneath the behavior. So we work to clarify the value system and challenge them. What are your values? The different people coming in. But then also as persons, we are different. And because we are different, we misunderstand. Misunderstanding happens. Have you experienced that? Have someone misunderstood you? One time? Two? And when people misunderstand, it creates hurts or disappointments towards each other in the relationship. And hurts and disappointment often create acquisition. We withdraw a little bit. We take distance. We go back. And it can, acquisition is, we are accusing or we give back and then we withdraw. So we find arguments about this person. Ah, yes, we start our inner talk. And because of that, we start to withdraw and create distance. And then it creates distrust. And then maybe unforgiveness. And then maybe hate. And that's the way we build wall around us. And then there's no communication. We don't see each other. We only see ourselves, not the others, when we build this. And that happens so often. But we need to build down this wall in real human relation. When we work with the church plan, we need to identify what happened within us and around us in the relationship. And to stay healthy, we need to live like Paul. Every day, I leave behind. Every day, I put on the cross my disappointment and my hurt. Because we can't stop being different. We can't stop misunderstanding each other. Because we are still in this world, human beings. We can't stop hurting and disappointing each other. Sorry to say, but we can stop here. We can forgive. We can bring to the light. We can be honest. We can share. And then we give space and room for each other, and we suddenly understand each other better. Why did I disappoint you? Why did I misunderstand you? Why did this happen? And then we still have space enough to see each other in the eyes and communicate. And we need to live, to stay healthy on the long run, you need to live as far as you can in good relationship and peace, Romans 12, with all the people around you. Then you can stay healthy. Not build walls. Build them down. Stay in good relationship. Stay in a comfortable relationship. And I'm the last thing. It's interesting. I'm reading a book, The Compassionate Brain. How empathy creates intelligence. How empathy creates intelligence. That's the last brain research in the world. Some of the best brain research. He's a German. And he said that. Affirmation, encouragement in a group, two people, increase the capacity to use the fact knowledge in the brain many times. So, good relationship, affirmation, encouragement, increase the capacity for those people to use what's in there, because we mostly use 3-5% of what we have in here. But environment of good relation, healthy relation, increase our own capacity to use what God has given us and what we have put into our mind. So, healthy relationship is by brain researchers said, look out, could be good.